Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis once again. Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46. In our church bulletin, we've been encouraging you concerning the helpful little booklet on creation that you can pass on to somebody that you're trying to witness to. We have some more of those available, just so you know, in our bookstore. And also the main book, the full-coloured book, that is the basis of that brochure, that is available in the bookstore. Wonderful witnessing tool if you want to use something on a creation level. I mentioned the other week that the church in Engadine, Southern Cross Baptist Church, it's a wonderful church family, Church of Like Faith. They're sponsoring a creation science seminar next weekend on the Saturday afternoon leading into the evening. So if you'd like to attend that, it is free. Capital F, R-double-E. And they're so Christian about it, they're even providing dinner for you. So if you, but you must register. If you register, they'll provide free dinner. It won't cost you anything. You just have to be prepared to pack an overnight bag and drive down to Engadine. let me encourage you, if you have the time, if you've never been to a creation science seminar, it will strengthen your faith. Okay, so the details are there, and but please register if you want to take full advantage of the opportunity. Genesis chapter 46, please. Note then verse number 1 and 2. The title of our message this morning is A New Chapter in Jacob's Life. A New Chapter in Jacob's Life. Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 to 2. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to study your precious word. We ask now that you would still our hearts, help us to be focused upon your precious word and the teaching therein, and the personal application. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Just like a good book has a number of chapters. Each chapter presents a new portion of the overall purpose of that book. So in the same way that a book has chapter divisions, for all of us there are new chapters. For Jacob, Chapter 46 of Genesis outlines for us a new chapter in Jacob's life. Jacob begins a new chapter in his life here within this passage in moving to Egypt. It was a new chapter in his life. This saying used, it's a common little phrase, I'm beginning a new chapter. I have a new chapter before me. And normally that conveys the idea of a new beginning or possibly a major change in some way. And it's not uncommon to use that little phrase, well, this is a new chapter in my life. It could be a new career path. It could be a full-time job for the very first time. You've been a student, you've worked part-time, but this is A new chapter for you. You have your first full-time job. It might be marriage. That is certainly a new chapter in a person's life. It might be bearing and raising children, a new chapter in your life. Or it might be simply a major move of some sort. For Jacob, it was a major move. A move from Canaan to Egypt. He delights in the good news that Joseph is still alive. And we have a record of that there in chapter 45, verses 25 to 28. Note there, verse 28, it reads, "And Israel said, 'It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die.'" And he not only delights in the good news that his son, Joseph, is alive, he's invited to not only see him, but to live with him in Egypt. Now, this is a major life change for Jacob. This will begin a new chapter, not only in Jacob's life, but more so in the life of the nation of Israel. This chapter here, Genesis 46, records for us the migration of Jacob's family to Egypt. A new chapter in Jacob's life. How do we prepare well for new chapters in our lives? Maybe you have a new chapter before you right now. Let's see what we can learn from this passage of Scripture, from the life of Jacob, that might help us to be well prepared for that new chapter. See, your life and my life in many ways is like a book made up of chapters. So don't be afraid of that new chapter in your life. But let me encourage you this morning to be well prepared. And let's note here in chapter 46 some principles that might help us to be well prepared as we begin, or we're about to begin, or we foresee a new chapter before us. Note then verse number 1, first and foremost, that Israel, that is Jacob, you'll note that even though Jacob, the patriarch, Jacob was given a new name, Israel, we still see coming backwards and forth. Israel, Jacob, Israel, Jacob. And when God spake to Israel, he called him Jacob. Why is that? Well, I think it's a reminder to you and I that all of us have a little bit of Jacob within us. And the goal is to become an Israel, a prince with God. See, Jacob is a work in progress, and so are you. So am I. I believe that's why there is the constant backwards and forth. Jacob, Israel, Jacob, Israel. And note in verse number 1 of Genesis 46 that Israel, that is Jacob, took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba. And there, the Bible teaches us, he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. So upon arriving in Beersheba, making his way down towards Egypt, the Bible teaches us that he offers sacrifices unto God. This is some 50 kilometers from Hebron, from where the trip began for Jacob. Now, Beersheba has great significance for Jacob. In fact, it has great significance for every Australian. There's a wonderful war memorial there in honor of the Anzacs there in Beersheba. And in 2022, when you join us and we go to Israel once again, we'll go there. And very heartwarming.
Beersheba is a significant place. It was significant for Jacob, but as he made his way from Hebron down to Egypt, he stops by Beersheba because Beersheba has great significance for Jacob, for that's where Abraham, his grandfather, built a well. Genesis 21:30. It was in Beersheba where Jacob lived with his father Isaac for a period of time. Genesis 26:33. So we see that Jacob, on his way down to Egypt, stops by Beersheba and he worships his God there in Beersheba. And beloved, let me encourage you this morning in preparing for that new chapter in your life. You and I need to keep the main thing, which is the worship of our Lord. It needs to be number one priority. And this is what we see in Jacob. He offers worshipful sacrifices to God as he makes his way to Egypt to see and live with his son, Joseph. He no doubt was thankful for the miracle in the preservation of his son. And he also would have wanted guidance and protection. So we see that he stops by Beersheba, a place of spiritual significance for him personally and his family, and he worships and he offers sacrifices to his God. The Bible teaches us at the end of verse 1, he offered sacrifices, plural. Maybe sacrifices of thanksgiving, sacrifices of sacrifice, sacrifices of cleansing as he prepares for this major move to Egypt. And my friend, for you and I, as we begin new chapters from time to time in our lives, don't lose sight of your priority. My priority is to worship God in spirit and in truth. I think we can get excited about the fact, oh, I'm making a move, this is exciting, and be guilty of forgetting the Lord. Jacob didn't forget the Lord. Within 50 kilometers, he stopped. They thought, this is a significant place. Yes, he could have offered those sacrifices there in Hebron, but when he came to that place, Beersheba, I have no doubt in my mind he had it calculated. Because of the significance of that place, he said, I'm going to offer my sacrifices of thanksgiving, my sacrifices of cleansing, my sacrifices conveying to God I want his direction here in Beersheba. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth. So we see personal worship. A new chapter in Jacob's life, and he conveys to you and I, and he illustrates to you and I by example that you and I need to keep the main thing, the main thing. It was the Lord Jesus who said to Martha, Martha, you are so concerned about many things, but Mary has chosen that better part. This one thing is needful. Beloved, for you and I as God's people, our priority is to worship. It's to worship our Lord and our God. We are saved to worship. We worship God in spirit and in truth. In possessing the Holy Spirit from conversion, we can worship God in truth via the principles found within the eternal Word of God. And my friend, let me encourage you. If you have a new chapter before you, now's the time to spend a little bit more time with your God and worship Him more so. And note the benefit of that in verse number 2, that God spake unto Israel. See, the communication lines were open, were clear. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, note this, Jacob, Jacob. Didn't say Israel, Israel, Jacob, Jacob. Jacob, don't lose sight of where you've come from. Jacob, Jacob. Now it's interesting that he repeats his name twice. He didn't just say, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. We see that pattern in the scripture time and time again. Abraham, Abraham. Jacob, Jacob. See, God wanted his attention. God spoke to him. God spoke to Jacob as he was worshiping his God. And Jacob responded at the end of verse number 2, here am I. So it's important that you and I, as we prepare to begin that new chapter in our lives, that we have God's confirmation that this is of God. That it's not a chapter that you have just written in your own steam. That this chapter, this new chapter in your life, is of God. And God confirms that to Jacob. Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And then God speaks to Jacob. And my friend, how does God speak to you and I today? Do we look for voices out of heaven? Jacob, Jacob? No, God speaks to us from the precious word of God. And just like God spoke to Jacob, God speaks to you and I in this book. That's why your worship needs to be number one. That's why we need to be in the book. You need to be consistent. If there's ever a time that you and I need to be consistent in our personal walk with God, it's within those transitional times where those new chapters are before us, because we need God's confirmation. We need God's specific direction. And here we see from verses 2 to 4 that Israel was instructed to keep the end in view. Let's read on in verse number 3, please, in verse number 4. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. So God confirms to Jacob, this is the will of God. And let me ask you this morning, that new chapter before you, book, chapter, and verse. Is this the will of God for you? See, God confirmed his will to Jacob and said to Jacob, fear not to go down into Egypt. God will confirm his will through his precious word. The word of God is a light and a lamp for the child of God. A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God speaks in and through his word. And just like God spoke to Jacob, God will speak to you and I through his word. And beloved, let me encourage you to just make sure that new chapter before you is of God. Is it of God? Before we began this building project, I said to the good Lord, Lord, will you please confirm this is of you? It seems like it's of you. And judging from the church family and their goodwill and support, and judging from the fact that we have the need for better facilities, it all adds up. But Lord, will you please confirm to me this is of you? And the Lord gave me Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, how do you know that we need to press forward? Well, no turning back. It's been cracked open. But I have 100% assured of the fact that God wants us to move forward because he has spoken through his precious word. For wisdom hath builded her house. God confirmed to Jacob, fear not to go to Egypt. Let's read on verse number 3. It reads, I will there make of thee a great nation. I'm going to build your family, Jacob, in Egypt. Look at verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt. My presence will be with you, Jacob. Let's read on in verse 4. And I will also surely, you need to underline this, bring thee up again. So God confirmed to Jacob, yes, you are to go to Egypt. I'm going to build your nation. I'm going to build your family into a nation. Remember the promise that I gave your grandfather Abraham? That your family will be as the stars of the heavens. But I'm going to bring you back. There's an end in view, Jacob. This new chapter in your life is not a coincidence. There's an end in view. I'm going to send you down to Egypt. I'm going to build your family. Your family is going to become a great nation. But I'm going to bring you back to Canaan, that land that is yours, remember? Egypt is not your land. This is just a season. This is just a chapter of the main book. So, beloved, for you and I as God's people, as we consider that new chapter within our lives, we need to make sure that we worship God so God can speak to us and confirm his will. And God will. But as God speaks, God will confirm the purpose of it all. So God spoke to Jacob and promised his blessings. He confirmed, I'm going to be with you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to build you, but I'm going to bring you back. At the end of verse 4 it reads, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. In other words, he's saying to Jacob that Joseph will see your departure into eternity. You'll get to see your father pass into eternity. Pardon me, Joseph will see his father pass into eternity. And that must have done the world for Jacob to think, wow, I'm going to be with my son and he will see my departure. That means I'm going to be with my son until my departure. I'm not going to be separated from him. So God confirms to Jacob God's will. I will bring thee again. God told Jacob that he would build a great nation. And one day your family will return to Egypt. So in the midst of all these reassuring promises here in verses 3 to 4, God told him, I'm going to do a work in you and through you. And beloved, listen to me carefully. With every new chapter in our lives, we need to be discerning concerning the purpose of it all. Why this new chapter in my life? If it is a God-ordained new chapter in your life, then you can claim his promises and rest assured that God has a purpose. And you and I as God's people must keep the end in view. We need to be mindful, what is the purpose of this new chapter in my life? Because God confirmed to Jacob, yes, you are to go. I'm going to build you into a great nation. But I'm going to bring you back into the land. Keep the end in view. Note then verses 5 to 7, please. Are you still with me? And Jacob rose up from Beersheba. And the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. Verse 7, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. They took everything. Jacob did not leave anything behind. He didn't leave behind anything that would tempt him to go back. We see full commitment, don't we? We see full commitment. Jacob didn't keep anything behind just in case things don't work out. No, he was fully committed. He moved forward. And beloved, so likewise, as God begins a new chapter in your life and you have his confirmation of his presence and of his power and of his purpose and it all, you and I need to jump in, boots and all, and be fully committed in knowing this is what God wants us to do. Instead of being half-hearted about it, if we know, hey, God has opened up this new chapter in my life, then we need to be fully committed to that. And that's what Jacob does, doesn't he? Now, I know he was told, you don't need to bring anything. It'll all be provided for you in Egypt. But I think what Jacob was conveying, he said, I'm in. I'm fully in. My son is yet alive. I'm going to Egypt. Family, we're going. And he led by example in his full commitment. James chapter 1 verse 8 tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 9:59, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But the Lord Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Full commitment. And beloved, as God opens up that new chapter before you, let me encourage you, keep the main thing you worship. And secondly, keep the end in view. What is the purpose of this new chapter? Every new chapter has a purpose. I love marking books that I read. You can tell if I've enjoyed a book, it'll have scribbles all over it. Underline, and if I've really enjoyed the book, you'll go to the chapter page, and next to every chapter heading, I'll have a brief summary of that chapter. That's me, because every chapter has a purpose. And if God has opened up a new chapter in your life, hey, there's a purpose. So, jump in fully. Amen. Fully commit yourself. Don't be half-hearted. Don't keep a foot back in Canaan. I'm on my way to Egypt. Things don't work out. I've still got something back there to hold on to. No, that is not of faith. The just shall live by, and that's exactly what Jacob did. He got God's confirmation, go to Egypt, I'm going to build you to a great nation, I will bring you back, okay, let's go. And he led by example. Did he have full participation? Oh yes, he did. Look at verse number 8. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, etc., etc. Go down to verse number 27. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, that were of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70 in total. So what we see here from verses 8 to 27, we see full participation. Let's say that together. Full participation. Jacob said, we're going. We're not leaving anything behind. We're selling up. We're going by faith. And his family, his sons and wives and grandchildren, they said, let's go, Jacob, we're following you. Wonderful. All of Jacob's family went up. In total, there were 70, technically 66, and then there were four, which would have, well, I think it was in reference to Joseph's two sons, Joseph and his wife, but different Bible commentators vary on that, but I know I'm right. We do not read of any breaking rank. Each son and each of their wives were prepared to follow the patriarch Jacob into Egypt because this is a man of God. God has confirmed his will to the man of God. We're going to follow the man of God. Full participation. Are you called to follow someone in whom God has opened up a new chapter? Participate. Don't work against the grain of those that God has placed over you. Participate. And maybe there's a loved one in your life and God is opening up a new chapter for them. Participate. If they have God's guidance, cooperate. Participate. Look at verse 28 to 30. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen to present himself unto him. And he fell on his neck. It's been 22 years. This is a very emotional moment. Fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Yeah, it's been 22 years. And as far as Jacob had known, his son was dead. It's one thing to know that your son's alive. I haven't seen my son in 22 years. That's emotional. But to find out your son's alive and then to see him. No wonder the Bible teaches us that he wept on his neck a good while. That's good King James English. A good while. A good while. Look at verse 30. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Now let me die. What did he mean by that? Was he saying, kill me? No, Jacob, upon seeing his son Joseph, was so overwhelmed with emotion and contentment to the point that he said, I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I'm at peace. I'm ready to die. My bucket is empty. I have nothing else on my bucket list to fulfill. What a stupid saying, bucket list. It really drives me round the bend. One day I'll preach a sermon against it. The bucket list principle. Oh, it's on my bucket list. Bucket list. Don't understand that. So what Jacob was basically saying, he's saying, I am satisfied. I am content. I've got a family. My son that I thought was dead is alive. I'm satisfied. I'm ready to die. I have nothing else on my bucket list that I'd like to take care of. So we see contentment. And beloved, when you and I enter that new chapter of our lives and we know it's God's will, God has confirmed it from His Word, book, chapter, verse. Oh, but Pastor, it makes sense. Book, chapter, verse. You really believe that God speaks from this book? Yes, I do. And beloved, every major decision that you make in life, you ought to so walk with God that you can say, God spoke to me from His Word. Wisdom hath builded her house. We're going ahead. Yeah. As God said, we're going ahead. God said, you go ahead. We're going ahead. So Jacob was fully committed. His family participated. And here we see a spirit of contentment. And beloved, when you and I find ourselves within that new chapter of our lives and we know it's God's will, God will give you a sense of contentment and peace. Amen. Jacob said, I'm ready to die. I'm okay now. I've got nothing left on my bucket list to fulfill. And let me close with this. Look at verse number 31 down to verse number 34. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house. So once they got through this emotional reunion and Jacob shares his heart, I'm ready to step into eternity. I have everything that I could possibly want. I've got a lovely family. My son Joseph is still alive. Joseph gathers the family together and has a meeting with the family. This is a family meeting. Look at this. Don't clock off quite yet. I've still got 5 minutes. Amen? Okay, look at this. Verse 31. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren, so he's not ashamed of his family, and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. Now, it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade. We are traders. We trade in cattle. Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we, also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, which was a very fertile area in Egypt. The most fertile of all of Egypt was Goshen. And note this little phrase, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So what we have here from verses 31 to 34, we see that Joseph prepares his family in entering Egypt. He orientates them. You've heard of orientation? Yeah? Start a new job, you normally have a measure of orientation. Is that right, Brother Luke? Yeah. You get orientated. This is where you make a cup of tea, and this is where you sit, and this is who you report to, and etc., etc. Orientation. So Joseph, listen to me, don't click off. This is very, very important. Orientation is very, very important. J-
Joseph said, Pharaoh will ask you, what do you do for a living? And then Joseph said to his family, now, when he asks that question, he will ask you that question. He's an Egyptian. I know the Egyptians. They will ask you, what do you do for a living? You are to say that you trade in cattle. Don't say that you're shepherds. Because the Egyptians despise shepherds. They see shepherding as a nomadic lifestyle with no stability, no accumulation of wealth. It's a nomadic lifestyle, and the Egyptians see it as an abomination. So focus upon the fact that you trade cattle. You're into buying and selling. So what Joseph does, listen to me, Joseph orientates them. Joseph knows the Egyptian mind. Am I right or not? Joseph wants the transition to be as smooth as possible. Yes or no? Joseph understands the mind of the Egyptian. He has some insight that Jacob and his family do not. So he gives them some counsel. He gives them some direction. And in beginning this new chapter in your life, when Pharaoh asks, what is your occupation? This is what you are to say, and this is how you are to say it. You are to focus up on the word trade. We trade. We are businessmen. We have a long line of this. It's a family thing. So we see counsel. And beloved, my point is simply this. When it comes to that new chapter in your life that you're yet to experience, don't be afraid of counsel. In fact, if you're really smart and you're wise, you'll say to yourself, I'm about to enter into a new chapter in my life. I've not been down this track before. I'm going to seek some counsel. In the multitude of counsel there is, I've lost count the amount of people we've spoken to in relation to our building project. To seek counsel from pastors that have experienced building projects to builders themselves. We've picked their brains, asked questions. Because I haven't done this before. And beloved, when God opens up a new chapter in your life, the probability is you've never done it before. That's why it's a new chapter. Oh, Pastor, that was so intelligent. What an intelligent statement was that? Yes, that was profound. That's why it's a new chapter. You don't repeat the same chapter. You read one chapter, okay, that's the point of this chapter. Now we move on to the next chapter. You don't expect the next chapter to say exactly the same thing that was in the past chapter, do you? It's something new. And that new chapter in your life, you haven't been there before. I haven't been there. So we need to be careful that we don't despise the opportunity to seek some counsel. And Joseph, being a wonderful leader, and he loved his family, said, let me give you some advice, family. This is what will happen. Pharaoh's going to give us the best part of Egypt, Goshen, the most fertile portion of Egypt. But read my lips, follow my direction. So, beloved, as you begin that new chapter in your life, don't be afraid of counsel. If somebody offers you counsel, oh, welcome it. Especially if you know it comes from a concerned source, somebody that might have some idea. Hello? You young parents, you have a baby for the first time in your life. And if there's somebody that cares enough for you that has had babies and has children, they might have something to offer you. Amen? New chapters. Exciting. I love starting new chapters. I don't like long chapters. I don't like reading books with long chapters. The mark of a great book is short, concise, get to the point chapters. I'd rather have 50 chapters than just 5 chapters. You know, short. Because that conveys to me progress, 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 progress. Is there a new chapter before you? Well, when there is, let's take some advice from Jacob. Worship, number one. Confirmation from his word, number two. And if you know that God has confirmed it, jump in fully. Number four, full participation. If you are a part of somebody that's beginning a new chapter, be loyal, be committed. Full participation. Contentment, I'm ready to die. Advice, take counsel. Some wonderful lessons that I think will help us in those new chapters of life. Let's bow for prayer.